morning is from the book of John, first chapter, verses 10 to 18. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived amongst us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Oh God, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us now. Open our hearts and our ears so that we might receive a word from you this day. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Now, for the last 21 weeks, we have been studying the story, and we've made our way through the Old Testament. So give yourselves a round of applause. We did it. Last week, Pastor Harold gave us a great summary of all that we've heard and learned as we have made that journey with the Israelite people. And although it was difficult at times to stay motivated and plow through those tricky passages, it's incredibly important for us to study that portion of our Bible. For in its pages, we get a better understanding of the trajectory of humanity's relationship with God. You see, we see this constant ebb and flow. Humans coming close to God and then falling away due to our sinful nature. And despite this cycle of human behavior, there's one thing that is always consistent, and it is how God constantly reaches out to us and draws us back into a covenant relationship with God. And now that we're entering the New Testament, we're ready to dive into that next chapter to see how God will once again choose to reach out to us. The time has come for God to pull out all the stops, to hold nothing back, and to come be with us in the flesh. One of my seminary professors aptly told us to imagine the Old Testament as the manger for the Christ child, because all the events leading up to this moment were preparing the way for the Messiah to come and rescue us from the grip of sin and bring us back into that right relationship with God. As we look back at our history with God, in some ways it matches the evolution of this television. Now, some of our older congregants may remember the days when TV screens were small, but they were housed in these huge wooden boxes, and they displayed only black and white images. Now, in those days, the whole neighborhood would gather around this TV set, and they would marvel at this wondrous development. All the while, they're just squinting their eyes, trying to figure out what image is actually being displayed. Now, we can liken this to the time when God gave Moses the law. There's this long list of rules to follow, but we're told that by obeying them, we would honor God, and at the same time, we would be able to respect and care for our neighbors. Now, this proved to be a cumbersome task, and in the end, it only gave us this grainy image of who God was. We needed more. So time passes and technology advances for television. Sets get smaller even though the screens get larger. They become more affordable for the common household, and shows begin being broadcast in living color. And we can liken this to the era of the prophets. The law was still in effect, but now the people had living voices speaking God's word to them and providing direction. The prophets helped the people see a clearer picture of who God was and what kind of life God expected us to live. But even with this kind of intervention, we kept wandering off as we were being drawn away by flashy idols. It still wasn't enough, and God knew that we needed even more. Now, in our most recent history, television technology has skyrocketed. We now have high-definition TVs that are able to hang on our walls, and we even project three-dimensional images in our own living rooms. We may be sitting on our couch, but we can easily feel like we are now on the sidelines of a football game, or even on set with our favorite actors and actresses. Now, in similar fashion, God sent the high-def 3D version of God's self when Jesus was born into our world. Although the task isn't any less difficult, God in Christ provides for us a definitive picture as to how we are to live our lives in relation to one another and with God. Now, the crux of our passage today is found in verse 14, where we hear that the Word became flesh and lived among us. I loved how the Message translates this verse. It says, "The Word was made flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish." And this, my friends, is the very definition of that church word you hear called incarnation. It means that God became man, entered our existence, moved next door to us, walked our streets, felt our pain, experienced our joy, and yes, even died our death. God was no longer some distant being. Through Jesus, God became intimately present to us. Now, the purpose of the incarnation wasn't just so we could finally see in living color how God desired for us to live our lives. That was certainly a benefit, but it wasn't the whole point. Rather, Christ came to free us from the power of sin so that we could then be free to live for God. By defeating death, that ultimate consequence of sin, through Christ's resurrection, God's grace entered the picture and took root in our lives. The gift of God's grace enables all of us to begin a transformation process, and it gives each and every one of us potential. You see, the purpose of the incarnation, the whole reason that God became a human baby boy, was to give our lives eternal meaning and purpose. And we can know that this is true from John 3:16, that familiar verse that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." See, the Word becoming flesh was a game changer for the history of humanity. God reached down into our existence to remove any and all barriers that would try to come in between our relationship with God. And because God gave of himself in this way, we receive the gift of God's grace that enables us to be who God has called us to be. In these short 8 verses, we hear of just 3 dimensions of this gift. So first, verse 12 tells us that when we receive Jesus into our lives, we become the children of God. In other words, Jesus brings us back into that right relationship with God. We're welcomed back into the family with open arms. And secondly, verse 16 tells us that we receive grace upon grace from Christ. One of my favorite sayings is, God loves you just the way you are, but God loves you too much to leave you that way. This is what that phrase, grace upon grace, is getting at. God, through his undying love for us, is constantly forgiving us for all our failures and simultaneously is equipping us and enabling us to be better disciples. See, there's not a point in our lives that we go that isn't covered by God's love. It's always present. It's always wiping the slate clean. It is always empowering. Thirdly, verse 18 informs us that through Christ we receive the gift of God's vision. John says, "No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." See, the evangelist reminds us that being with Jesus allows us to see into the heart of God. And we get to catch a glimpse at what God dreams for our lives as we are a part of the kingdom of God. Now, although this undeserved gift of God's grace that is made available to us through the birth and death of Jesus Christ, it's offered to us with no strings attached, but it does come with responsibility. Equipped with God's love, we are then invited to participate in the reconciling work of Jesus Christ. In effect, God asks us to extend God's own reach by using our hands and our feet to spread the love of Christ in the world. You see, God longs to bring more children into his family. God longs to lavish more grace upon his beloved children. And God longs to share his vision of his kingdom throughout the world. So God is calling us to partner with him in this work and to reflect the image of Christ in all that we do. Now, our faith teaches us that our goal in life is to grow in the likeness of Christ. And this is a daunting task, no doubt, but I found a helpful thought from one of my favorite theologians this week. When reading this passage of Scripture, Barbara Brown Taylor encourages us to focus on the ways that the coming of the Word made flesh has enabled those of us who follow him to also embody God's Word. She says that everyone has a word that he or she has a gift to bring to life. For some of you, it may be compassion. For others, it may be justice, maybe patience or generosity. And at first glance, these are just abstract words that describe the ideal Christian. But the moment that somebody acts on them, they become tangible expressions of God in our real life. So I want to invite you to think for just a moment. Since none of us is fully like Christ yet, and none of us is able to embody the fullness that is the Word of God as Christ did, we're going to start with baby steps. What is one Word of God that you can put flesh on? What is one Christian virtue you could live into incarnationally so that others can experience God's love through you? Barbara Brown Taylor was quick to say that this isn't just something for the individual to do, but also something that congregations as a whole should consider as well. We, as the body of Christ, also put flesh on God's word. So what word would you say our congregation lives into? For my 3.5 years here, I can say confidently that this church lives into the words generosity and service. As one of your pastors, I am so proud of our church and the ways that you give of yourselves. Not only do you give of your time and service in various capacities throughout our community, but you also give of your money to support local and worldwide causes that are transforming lives. I celebrate that we are a church that can raise $17,000 for Family Promise, but is also out in the community serving Meals on Wheels, tutoring in our schools, stocking the shelves of the food pantry, and cleaning up our local parks. I'm proud to say that we found an opportunity to go to Rwanda on a mission trip this summer, and we've run out of spaces for anybody else to join us. I'm proud to know that when there's a hurting family in our community, we rally around them and we surround them with love and support. I'm proud to say that on just one Sunday, we were able to raise over $8,000 for the children of the world. When people see our church, I hope that they see that this truly is a vessel where God's love comes in, but is then poured out on those who are around us. Now, in the midst of this celebration, we also have to be mindful of the ways that God is challenging us to grow in other areas. And the leadership of our church has discerned that God is calling us to live more into the word hospitality. It's imperative that our guests feel welcome when they come to our grounds. We've already heard in our scripture lesson today that God wants to bring more children into God's family. Therefore, we should be doing all that we can to ensure that every child of God who walks into these doors feels like they have come home. So in response to this call God has placed upon us, today we're kicking off our capital campaign called REACH. And the word REACH stands for Renovate the Environment Around Christ's Home. Through this program, we hope to remodel our current space so that we can reach more people for God. We want our church to be a place where all feel welcome, where all can receive grace upon grace, where all can catch a glimpse of God's vision for generations to come. You can hear more in detail about our plans if you go to one of those gathering groups that Karen mentioned earlier in the service. But know that by embarking on this journey together, we feel that we are faithfully responding to God's call and his invitation to us to extend God's own reach in the world. And we hope that our efforts will bring more children into the fold of God. Now, the words that we read from the Gospel of John today remind us of the implications of the incarnation. When the Word became flesh in Jesus Christ, God took the initiative to help us know him intimately. God's action and the gift of his only Son teaches us that God's love knows no bounds. And as a recipient of this incredible gift, we are now invited to stretch ourselves so that we can reach more people, so that we can reach out in compassion, so that others might know that a Savior has come for them too, to release them from the grip of sin, and to restore their relationship with God. So the question I leave you with this morning is, how will you choose to be the embodiment of God's word and God's grace in your daily life? Let us pray. Oh God, we are so grateful for your scripture this morning that reminds us of your action in our lives, of how you are the Word who became flesh. You are the Word who came to live among us. You are the Word who moved into our neighborhood. God, we are so grateful for your saving work through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God, help us to never take that for granted. Lord, we are so overwhelmed that you have called us to be a part of your family, and you have invited us to partner with you in your work, in your ministry. Lord, I pray that you would continue to pour your grace upon each of us so that we might answer your call and reach more people for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.